Does everybody have water who needs water for this fantastic journey?
I'm like 98% water as far as I know.
Okay.
I have so much water right here.
64% water. There was an accident.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. It's fine. I've adapted.
I'm running at about 75% hydration right now. I'm hoping to have some like quality alkaline after all this is said and done. A little bite to me.
Bitch, you basic.
I can't believe you would do me like that.
Welcome to the first episode of the first season of Strange But Untrue. I'm Alicia, and I will be your host for today. Well, this is another fine mess we've gotten ourselves into. Good evening, panelists, listeners. I believe in our previous podcast, Facts But Better, we had just stepped out to get some more delightful strange confections for the after show. And then, panelists, what year is this?
I'll take 1812 as an initial overture.
I stopped counting after 2000.
I'm going to say it's 1977, the peak of human culture.
Judging by the llamas outside, I'm going with 2064.
You're all joking. I was just out to the grocery store.
Well, you know, time, it did that thing it does where it revs the engine a little too much and then peels out.
We were so amusing, we broke time by convincing it to peel out.
Yeah, I'm still smelling that tire smoke. It's nasty.
So did anything happen while I was out?
Nope.
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 Nope. Pretty boring.
No.
Definitely nothing.
Nothing.
Why are you asking questions?
The nothing world continued to spin.
I have the same number of organs.
Remain indoors.
Well, that's frightfully peculiar. Well, at least the podcast is back. Friends, for newcomers to our podcast, the best way I can describe this show is for you to imagine the Niagara Falls. Now imagine it purple, now imagine it blue, now imagine it magenta on a tropical beach served with an orange twist. Now imagine the entire earth in a barrel plummeting down the falls with a small owl on top flapping as hard as it can trying to lift it. That's strange but untrue. We are the barrel. Now per custom, it is time for the panelists to introduce themselves. Please, let our listeners know who are you, what are your pronouns, and what is your favorite flavor of lemon?
I'm Soros. I use she or they. I've usually been partial to the lemon-flavored lemons.
I'm Electric Keat, and I'm stuck in this barrel, apparently. It doesn't smell like lemon in here, but it does remind me of my favorite type of lemon, the dusty lemon.
Did the dusty lemon have pronouns?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope. The pronouns, I suppose, are dusty and lemon.
I like the sound of dusty.
Yeah.
My name is Ember. I, for some reason, imagine Niagara Falls in California, which is completely untrue. My pronouns are they, them, or if you're feeling spicy, it's maybe. I don't know. I don't think anyone around here is spicy enough for that. And my favorite flavor of lemon is candy.
I'm Valerie. My pronouns are she, her, and my favorite flavor of lemon is pledge.
Oh, see, now we are directly opposing each other.
Yeah, I know. Time-sworn enemies. Sleep with one eye open.
I usually sleep with both eyes open, actually. It's kind of distracting. I get micro-sleep.
You have anticipated the ways of my people, and we will respect you even in your final moments.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Is it too late for me to switch my answer to overclocked lemon?
Or exploding lemons?
Mostly just, you know, the little pencil graphite line. They don't have to explode.
Actually, my favorite flavor of lemon is technically a battery.
See, if you connect one end of the lemon to the other with a graphite line, it will just charge itself up indefinitely. Eventually, it will explode. Exploding lemons. They're true. They're real.
Yeah, and Val mentioned the, you know, pledge-flavored lemon and just brings back memories of running a, you know, pledge stand when I was a kid, selling little glasses of pledge to people.
I'm pretty sure I saw them open in Bumbershoot 2003?
Lemon pledge stand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you all. Now, For the proper recording of this panel, I will need one of you to keep the notes of this meeting. Which of you would like to volunteer? If there are no volunteers, I will assign someone, and that individual will have to write up a 500-word essay on the geologic history of the stone I found outside.
Here, let me get my stenographer's kit out.
Appreciated. The first request of the note-taker is that everything said so far should be stricken from the record. Please do so in the manner of your choosing.
Delete, 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 delete. This is going to take a minute. I have to hit the delete key on this keyboard a bunch.
Just do Control A and then delete once.
Don't worry about it. Just, you know, pick the little dynamite icon, click that in the screen, you know, kind of does an explosion noise like that.
My Minesweeper game!
Or it just goes, oh no, and all the words explode individually in lines.
Mm-hmm. Advanced dyslexia.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Very well. We will begin with the first topic of our discussion. Lemon squares. In as many words as you can manage, please explain what lemon squares have to do with the giant hexagon of Saturn.
Okay, so. Nope, I got nothing. I'm not supposed to talk about the hexagon on Saturn. First thing you would do is pick a topic that I'm actually legally forbidden from talking about anymore.
Oh, so. No. It's 1812. The restraining order hasn't happened yet.
Oh, can I get by on that technicality?
Yeah.
What do you think? Does everybody else agree?
These days, I think you get pan on that technicality, but we can work with it.
Okay.
Everyone brings their own years with them, and apparently you can just pick and choose one to apply. So, yes.
All right. So, it used to be that the hexagon was filled with lemons, and now it's just one big lemon. Via a phenomenon called lemon congealing, which is only just being explored by, you know, scientists, lemon scientists, lots of them. See, it kind of went in an inverse order. It used to be there was just the one scientist trying to figure out all the lemons, and now it's a bunch of scientists figuring out the one lemon. And somewhere in the middle, it'll equal out. We'll get equilibrium between lemons and scientists.
I mean, it does make sense that Saturn is a gas giant, which would explain why lemon squares are always so light and fluffy if they're, like, you know, going out there and carving bits off of it. I just can't imagine why they would have carved squares instead of hexagons.
Well, maybe it's a square-shaped hexagon.
Could be it, yeah. Got a couple extra angles on there.
You know, they're actually four-dimensional lemons. So what happens is it's a hexagon from one viewing angle, and then from another, it's a square.
It's projected lemon. Yeah, I can see that.
I was just there this weekend, and frankly, I do have to state for the record, the lemon squares really resent you calling that. It's not their fault that trends on Saturn move so fast and they're always like a week out of fashion. They're really putting in the effort here, man, but the drip's expensive.
That's fantastic, y'all. Let's go over some other topics for our discussion tonight. Can any of you explain the difference between confectioner's sugar and the white goo that bubbles up around Antarctica?
The white goo that bubbles up around Antarctica is mostly fermented penguins.
I didn't realize that penguins were so sugar rich.
Oh yeah. I mean, all the dark candy shell just kind of melts off into the ocean and leaves just the white sugar remaining.
This explains everything. I'm curious just how many penguins worth of sugar I've consumed in my lifetime that actually came from penguins. Penguin sugar.
Well, it's mostly kind of synthetic these days, because after the whole Shackleton thing, it just was a real big pain to go down there and collect all the sugar.
Yeah, but a synthetic version is like in basically almost every food. Like, if you look at the ingredients list for most, like, candies these days, they don't have, like, cane sugar. They don't have, like, you know, sucralose, unless it's the diet version. They almost always have high fructose penguin sugar.
Yeah, well,
or syrup sometimes.
Yeah, I heard that they were trying to get that renamed to penguin sugar instead of high fructose penguin syrup.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it sounds healthier slightly, syrup versus sugar.
Well, I think you have to misspell penguin in order to make that legal, because it's not actually penguin.
To readdress the original topic, confectioner sugar, however, is a cultural appropriation of penguin sugar. Because it looks like snow, it's light and fluffy, and it looks like something down from Antarctica, but it isn't actually the real thing.
Well, sort of like how, you know, there are a couple different things that get called cinnamon. There's a real cinnamon, and then there's something else that's, you know.
I believe in the UK they call it traitor cinnamon.
Oh.
Liar's cinnamon, actually.
Mm. Didn't
I'm not sure I believe you.
Val, didn't you have a relative who was melted down for cinnamon?
It was a very traumatic event in our family's history, and it's still a little painful to talk about. I'm doing my best, but you know, they insisted he had it coming, but I have reason to doubt that.
I'm sorry to bring up a painful subject.
It's okay. He was delicious. The cookies were exceptional that year.
Well, that's all we can really hope for in the end.
Of course, there's also the lesser known, because it's only produced in one place, in the Vatican City. They actually call it Blessamen.
Oh.
Because they don't really like talking about sin. Or, I mean, they love talking about sin, but they don't want to say that they're eating it.
I thought they were mostly obsessed with sects.
Yeah. I mean, they're very sexed positive.
So, speaking of white powder, can you sniff this and tell me if you can see through the grand pale of existence?
Oh, that's penguin cinnamon.
Ooh. Ah. What was the question? I feel dizzy.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh, yeah, I'll let him know. Yeah, so first off, the machine elves want you to know that Dr. David's one of them and has been this entire time. They're actually the machine gnomes and would really prefer you update your terminology because conflating them with elves is really offensive because, as we all know, elves are fictional, but gnomes are terrifyingly real and operate the unseen cogs that allow each day to pass into night seamlessly.
Yeah, blame it on Terrence McKenna for hearing that wrong. I'm sure that they'll, you know, he'll never live that down. Oh, hang on, let me take a sniff. I don't feel any different. I always see whatever that is that I see.
If you were to make a cake from this powder, who would you serve it to?
The entirety of Vatican City. Because they could use a good time.
I think Terrence McKenna, it might get his head on straight.
You'd have to go all the way around to do that, though.
Well, that's easy. You just fold it.
Yeah.
Now, please explain why honey mushrooms do not contain actual honey, and what freakish acts of science we can perform to correct this.
Honey mushrooms are just another variety of lemon when you get right down to it.
You're going to have to work with me on this one, but look, at the end of the day, we already know the uncomfortable answer. We need to introduce bees to the cordyceps fungus. Doing this, I don't care what all of this bee, like Big Bee and, you know, Big Beekeeper wants to keep you away from this, but we can and do have the technology right now waiting to go as soon as we overturn the Geneva Convention.
I mean, I am generally in favor of spore-based technological developments, except the ones that involve that guy Wright.
Next up, Otis G. Cummings of Skylar, North Dakota, has theorized that in the future, humans may evolve two mouths, one for nutritious food and one for pleasurable food, such as chips, pork rinds, and treacle. Please debate whether or not his theories are heresy, and if so, how we should punish him.
I think Otis has been hitting the white powder again.
Hang on, does everyone here only have one mouth?
I've got the regulation number, exactly.
Yes, I do also.
I'm pretty sure I don't have extra mouths hidden away anywhere. Not that I would tell you about.
I can't say anything without incriminating myself.
So we're all very qualified to answer this question, then.
I don't think it's a sin. Also, though, if we're really going to imagine, you know, re-engineering the human body, the first thing I would change wouldn't be giving two mouths. The first thing would be making the mouth and the food that goes through it go into the stomach directly and don't have any chance of going into your lungs instead. That's such a poor design. Should be to breathe through the nose and that goes in your lungs. The mouth is only into the stomach. Everything's fine. You don't have to choke on anything. No one needs to do the Heimlich. It's better for all parties involved. And don't even get me started on down below.
See, I think you haven't lived until you've aspirated a lemon square.
I would do that anyway.
Well, it's the question isn't about your, you know, nocturnal predilections. Me, I'd just have the carburetor removed.
Yeah.
I'm going to readdress the original topic. This is canonically not heresy. 100% absolutely approved. It is theorized by our boy in North Dakota, was it?
Mr. Cummings.
North Dakota. Mr. Cummings in North Dakota. That it is evolution. And as we all know, this is merely the course of the universe and the grand design as backed officially by the gnomes that, you know, it's how things are going to go. And we can't stop and consider that heresy because that would be to contravene the universe themselves. Furthermore, I will state that the theory, while sound, is slightly misguided because I am dead sure that that second mouth is going to be used exclusively for talking shit on social media.
Oh, that's true. I mean, it starts out all innocent, like, oh, I'm just going to eat the nice things. And then next thing you know,
Talking out the left side of their face about you when you're not around. It's just, it's horrible. But
you know, I was just going to say that you could, you know, have a conversation with yourself, but yours is so much more terrible.
Do consider, though, that would free up your thumbs from talking shit on social media.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, and you probably by that point you'd have at least 3 or 4 thumbs on each hand.
Well, if the thumbs are free, then like finally we can self-commentate. We can be our own couches during attempts at speedrunning world records.
That's wonderful. As you are aware, nitroglycerin is used to prevent chest pain in individuals with a history of heart attacks. Please indicate what medical conditions are relieved by the application of uranium-238. Caveat, do not say life.
Insufficient number of neutrons?
A sufficient number of thumbs.
Chronic fatigue syndrome. Nothing will get your ass energized like that.
Spleen splatter.
Not being fissile.
Insufficient proximity to beryllium half-spheres.
Proper uses of screwdrivers.
Extended viewings of the director's cut of Barbenheimer. Wait, you might need to strike that one out. I've just dated the episode.
Oh, it's also good for nostril atrophy. It helps rebuild.
It's true. Nothing helps clean the sinuses and develop a good nostril like yellow cake.
You've dated the episode? Are you still going steady, or did you break up?
We kind of want different things, but it's amicable, so...
Open relationship, perhaps?
We just want different things.
Fair enough.
You're not sure you're ready to spend your half-lives together?
Exactly.
Please explain why cardamom ice cream is not typically served in Canada.
Well, they're not allowed to have fun there.
They haven't grown second mouths yet. How would they enjoy it?
I mean, I thought cardamom was just illegal in most places.
Tim Hortons is hoarding it. It's what makes the Timbits and the coffee so absolutely good. It's why they have such a stranglehold on the Canadian economy.
Oh, that makes sense. It's that hint of cardamom. I always wondered why I just couldn't stop eating them.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, they also make... It's also a key ingredient in Canadian tires.
Mm.
But, you know, it's not... Cardamom isn't illegal in Canada. It's cardboard mums that are illegal in Canada. Common mistake.
Right.
The two-dimensional nanny panic of 1914, I remember.
Far-reaching consequences.
Yeah, especially when they burned them. It really messed up the atmosphere for a while there.
Yep.
Next up on our program today, please explain how you would assemble the mammal equivalent of the turducken.
A lot of glue. You would need a lot of glue.
You don't want adhesion. You want lubrication. You will need
things inside of other things. Oh, fair enough. Yes.
Well, I'm saying once it's in there, you kind of want it to set up.
Oh, yeah, surgical glue for sure. But like,
so I think you put in the A part of the epoxy first, and then you do the lubrication, and then once they're in there, you baste in the B part of the epoxy so that it's really cemented in place.
Yeah, you kind of have to massage it to make sure everything mixes properly, but, you know.
I'd be really tempted to pull a Kulshi the Deathless and, like, you know, hide my soul inside an egg inside of a... The problem is then that involves other birds, too, before it starts getting into the larger mammals. like a, I think it was a goat and a giraffe, and then I think an elephant, and then finally the world tree. He was a crazy old Russian guy.
He was. I think you can just go vegan with that though, and do the life in the needle, in the box, in the rushes, in the tree. Is the band Rush vegan?
And the green grass grows all around, all around.
Yeah.
That's a queer sort of matryoshka you got there.
Please list three words you would never use to describe whortleberries.
Pleasant. Let's see, what else?
Astringent.
I was going to go with acrid, but yeah, astringent seems right. And then...
obsequious.
No. Try hard. I think try hard is the one I'm looking for.
Debt free.
Insurance.
If you could monopolize a single flavor, what would it be? And this is the important part. What would you charge to let anyone else have a taste?
Well, Dusty Lemon, of course. And as far as charging them, I figured I would actually just own all the rights to Dusty Lemon myself. And then anything made with it would be at retail price. Like, yeah.
I think I'd monopolize capitalism and charge 100 million, billion, zillion, skillion, kabillion dollars.
Passion fruit, $2.95.
Uranium, $2.38. I would only charge them in the sense that I'm filling them with gamma and alpha and beta radiation.
In that order?
No, randomly.
Ooh. That's kind of doing a lottery there. You could get taken for a lot, or you could get it for a song.
Yeah, you could stop with tissue paper, or you could stop it only with, like, three sheets of lead.
Very well. Panelists, your fellow panelists have threatened to monopolize Dusty Lemon, Capitalism, Passion Fruit, and Uranium-238. That is terribly cruel of them. How would you plan to capture and release these flavors back into the wild?
Well, I think first I'd start some kind of podcast and get all of them into one location so that I could prevent their nefarious scheme. I gotta go.
Yeah, I don't know. I would start it to duck in.
Rods from God. Simple, effective, can't be dissuaded, influenced, or negated.
Especially useful with uranium-238.
Absolutely. It's going to be required to get through the 3 feet of lead that randomly occur, like, whenever we're talking about dealing with your monopoly.
Yeah.
It would make a lot of the podcast staff happy to know that you harbor no ill will toward the uplifted tiger shark named Julie who writes these topics. I mean, we have no idea who actually writes the topics for this podcast, but if they were listening, and they might possibly be eating me after this is recorded, how could you convince them not to?
Well, I mean, Julie is... I mean, she's not harmless, but... all you have to do is, like, a little belly rub, and she rolls right over.
I believe the phrase I've seen lately of that is to grab them by the nose and get rotated, idiot. But I don't necessarily know if that's going to dissuade her. Imply that you don't taste like a license plate. That usually might, you know, remind them of the reality of the situation.
I don't see why you have to be insulting. She's got a perfectly normal IQ.
The internet, it is a cruel place. I'm sorry, I'm talking out of my left mouth right now.
I think the host has a very high opinion of the quality of the questions that they're asking and assumes a lot that we were to be interested in not letting them get eaten.
Well, I mean, we've lost several announcers that way.
Yeah.
All we'd have to say is, look, we're all out of cardamom. We can't actually season anybody properly right now.
Chuck a Timbit in there for good measure.
That's where all the cardamom went.
It's all your daily recommended dosage of cardamom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all know that humans taste terrible due to the vast quantity of microplastics and unnatural chemicals that permeate our flesh and souls.
That's not true. Wait, no, I'm sorry. I can't say that on air.
Speaking of which, though, which vintage of wine tastes closest to the human soul, and where can I get enough of it for a 2,000-pound producer of this show drunk?
Is the producer of the show also the tiger shark?
I cannot answer that question at this time.
Okay.
To answer the prompt correctly, however, I'm going to have to intercede here. 1976, Chateauneuf-du-Pape, from the Rhone region of France specifically. You're going to want that one because it still has the tetryl ethyl lead in it. And honestly, so much of everything about humanity is adequately summarized by the presence of tetraethyl lead. Once that's gone, what do we have, really? We have microplastics coming in. We have a general softening of demeanor. There's none of that real grit, none of that insane, I want to do crimes and poison the world edge that, you know, genuinely replicates the nature of the human the human spirit in cosmology.
Oh, look at us. We're answering the prompt over here.
Three parts Cabernet. In this case, three parts means 3 gallons. One part ginger ale. It's a dark and poshy.
I think it's in all of our best interests if we refuse to acknowledge that punchline.
Guess what's in the bowl?
Damn it.
Sherbet and dry ice?
Back to the topic at hand. If you leap helmetless into outer space and then chomp down on a handful of strawberry nerds while, again, floating in space, would that be the coolest thing or what?
I think ideally you should kill some other astronaut with a rock while you're doing it.
No, you chomp down on the nerds. Or no, I'm thinking of Pop Rocks. But if you had Pop Rocks, you chomp down on those and then just open your mouth right into the comms channel so like everyone around you gets the burst of static as you're flying by. Oh, just
and they think it's just cosmic radiation or something.
Exactly, but it's like super loud in the earpiece and totally fucks with them. It's hilarious. I saw a guy drop a spatula and fell to Earth after that.
I think what's better themed, at least if you're in space, is not Pop Rocks or nerds, but Starburst.
Are those the ones made with penguin sugar? Because those are the better ones.
They're made with high fructose penguin syrup.
Close enough.
Speaking of cool things, what is the secret ingredient in Cool Whip that prevents it from gaining intelligence?
Television. Mayonnaise. Sorry. You go.
Television.
Mayonnaise.
The film Cool World.
Ooh, that did keep me from being sentient.
Yeah. And you thought the lead would do the trick.
Please explain why we grow chili peppers for the capsaicin in them, but we don't grow eggplants for the parmigiana in them.
Because mankind is full of cowards.
I think we need to breed a better eggplant.
I think it's well known that birds don't taste parmesan. So that's probably why we grow the eggplants like that.
I'm confused. Wasn't Zsa Zsa Gabor an eggplant?
An awful lot of famous people were eggplants. This doesn't get discussed on Wikipedia because it's a very sensitive topic. It depends on which country you're from, whether you can actually talk about their eggplant nature or not.
Is this what they mean when they say industry plants in the music business?
There's at least a few that are also secretly birds. Bjork is one of them.
That's not a very big secret.
You're saying Bjork isn't an eggplant?
No, she's a bird.
I've been living a lie.
I don't know how you could look at Bjork, not take just 2 seconds to look at her and not go, oh yeah, that's a puffin. That is 100% a puffin right there.
Maybe she hatched from an eggplant?
That is how they do it down in Antarctica.
That's one of the countries you're not supposed to talk about eggplants in.
Well, that's why, probably.
So, in the new remake of Super Mario RPG, Mario and his friends fight a wedding cake named Bunt. In the most words that you can manage, please describe what damages Bunt is entitled to from Mario after the trial for this flagrant assault.
I mean, are we asking them to be the Bunt of the joke?
Well, you've gone and done the best joke first.
I mean, now they're probably entitled to damages from me, too, so...
I wish I could comment on this one, but unfortunately, as I am on the jury, I am not allowed to discuss the case. However, for a medium-large bribe, I will change my verdict.
Mm. From what to what?
I'm not allowed to discuss the case.
Right.
Please explain why the color blue is never found on pizza.
So the dogs can't see it.
What? I don't know why that one hit.
I just thought this was like common sense. I mean, you take one look at that, you're like, yeah, dog gonna steal my pizza if it's blue. They can see it against a green background. We have evolved to see red.
And now, our final topic. Among the three of you, please establish who will tell the truth, who will lie, and who will just repeat any question back at the person asking it in a hostile tone. Let me know when you are done.
I think first we have to decide which three of us.
I think we have to decide which three of us.
Well, we're down to two now.
I nominate the host as the liar. Because they said there were only three of us.
Well, that's what the really big knife in the middle of the stage area is for.
Well, then I abstain.
Well, you certainly will in a moment.
It's hilarious how you think I can be cut.
I just hope that sofa over there is abstain resistant.
I am no common lemon square.
It's no common knife. This is U-238.
Since I have a monopoly on that material, I am naturally immune to it.
Oh, no. It's U-238, the cover band. It's made out of their CDs. Have at thee.
Ow.
And now we reach the end of our broadcast day. Final thoughts, panelists?
That was a day? Didn't feel that long.
I think I'm in the mood for some dusty lemon squares.
I think someone should report that the medical kits here, the first aid kit hanging on the wall, doesn't make any kind of noises when you open it up. It just spills out a bunch of penguin sugar and yellow cake, and that's not very helpful.
Oh, damn. I'm used to the one that I have in my house going woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo every time I use it.
See, right? They're supposed to.
The penguin sugar is actually useful. It'll help a wound close and generally won't turn you into a penguin on the first or second use.
Yeah, well, help me shovel it in then.
Yeah.
Today I have learned that I am not immune to knives made of terrible cover bands with frontline singers of Onob.
I think one thing going forward I would like our audience to remember is that when you are attempting to source your penguin sugar, make sure that it is genuine and not the slightly inferior product that is often passed off in place of penguin sugar, which is derived largely from leopard seals, which are, as everyone knows, the peeps of the sea.
Oh, is that why these squares taste off?
It might be.
Here, let me spray some pledge on there for you.
I appreciate you too. This has been the opening podcast of season one of Strange But Untrue. We at the podcast would like to remind you that you should never let a sea urchin near a comically large button labeled Ignite. They just can't help themselves. Good night. Good night, everybody. And we're off. Would you like me to press the button?
Does this say Ignite?
The button that stops recording.
Oh.
I think there really should be an Ignite button.
It's probably a good addition to your soundboard there.
One for each channel, really.